It can be a little difficult to keep track of all the various efforts to take care of the Klamath River and its various residents. The river rises in Oregon and flows to the Pacific through Northern California, held up along the way by a series of dams. The dams are major fish obstacles, but the fish are vitally important in the lower river, in the upper river as well, and the focus of a long-term plan for the protection of adult salmon. Work on a plan for protecting adult salmon in the lower river is well underway. A series of scoping meetings around the region wrapped up last week, but there's still a chance to comment until Thursday. Let's hear about the subject matter and process. Therese Bradford is the area manager in the Klamath Basin Area Office of the Federal Bureau of Reclamation. Therese, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Well, thanks for having me.
So if you would, give us a broad brush look at what the current process is meant to do and if it replaces something that already exists.
Well, certainly. Right now, the current process is we've done an annual review of the water and the need in the lower river, and we want to do a longer-term look at what's happening and make a decision so that we don't have to do this annually, that we can look at it over time and in a more comprehensive manner.
But the conditions change annually. Would that not indicate that perhaps you're going to have to come up with something different each year?
Of course. There will be an annual review, and we'll be taking into account all of the information for each year. Because of rain events, temperature, there's a lot of variables each year. But what this EIS process does, is help us look at the entire system from a comprehensive manner instead of just the Trinity one year at a time.
All right. So I was going to ask you if this is related to the releases of additional water into the Trinity River, and clearly there's something to do with that. Can you kind of explain the interconnection here and then tell us also about what's happening with the Trinity this year in particular?
Certainly. And I'm wondering if Paul from our Northern California office has joined us also?
We are attempting to get a hold of him. The numbers we were given are not quite working out, but we're still trying to get a hold of him now.
Okay, great. Well, currently we're looking at the Trinity, which empties into the Klamath River, and the majority of the water that comes in from the Trinity is nice, cold water. The only other places where there's federal control regarding water that comes into the Trinity would be from the Upper Basin, which is dammed, as you said, at the Iron Gate Dam. So the Trinity releases one. There's also additional water releases that come from the tributaries, the Scott, the Shasta, the other tributaries that contribute to the basin in the Middle Basin, specifically the Salmon River, the Scott River, and the Shasta.
All right, we do have Paul Zadonis on the line now. He's the Division Chief Natural Resources Specialist with the Bureau of Reclamation. Paul, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Well, good morning.
Good morning. We're trying to get a handle on the general scope of what's going on here. I wonder what you might be able to add about Trinity water releases just this year in particular.
Well, this year in particular, we had a draft environmental assessment completed that went to public review. That public review closed on August 7th, and we are presently in the process of wrapping that review up, and we expect a decision shortly.
All right. So, Therese Bradford, to bring it back to you, it gets confusing for people who are not within the Bureau of Reclamation. I can't imagine it's a whole lot less confusing for people inside when you consider the various parts of the basin. You got an EA for the Trinity River water releases. You got an EIS going on for the Lower Klamath Adult Salmon Protection Program. So a lot of paperwork and a lot of plate spinning at once, isn't it?
Well, there's even more. We actually have three things going on this week. And the, you know, water releases, there's always something going on. So just to be really clear, we have the Hoopa Boat Dance Ceremony water releases happening right now. We have the EA where the comments were due on the 7th, as you said, and a decision pending sometime this week. And then we also have the long-term EIS, and those initial scoping comments are due August 20th.
So what is the range, the geographical range and the general components of what you're compiling for this EIS, this environmental impact statement?
Paul, do you want to take that?
Certainly, that's fine. The scope, if you will, of the EIS, geographically speaking, the Trinity River Basin is unique in that we have a trans-basin diversion, right? We have water that is both sent down the Trinity River for multiple uses, and then water that is also diverted to the Central Valley. So the general geographic scope of the EIS will incorporate, you know, the Klamath Trinity River Basin in addition to the Sacramento River Valley.
So the issue is you got water that would normally be at home in the Klamath River Basin, which, where the Trinity River water would end up, but some of it ending up in the Sacramento River Basin.
That is correct. It's part of the Central Valley when it was created. We have the Trinity River division of the project, and that does supply water to the Central Valley.
And have you gotten to the point where there? I'm trying to figure out, Therese, where in the process you are. You're just scoping at this point, so there actually is no EIS in draft form at this point, right?
That's correct.
All right, and so will this be a fairly typical EIS in environmental impact statement, where you put out a set of potential alternatives, including a preferred one?
Yes, and the draft EIS is scheduled to be completed sometime in late winter, early spring, and then we'll have public hearings in the spring of 2016. And that will be the next time that people have the opportunity to comment.
All right. So here again, we're talking about Trinity River releases just on a longer-term basis than the summer-by-summer basis we're looking at now?
Right.
All right. We have a call here. I'm going to have to put you on hold, Paul. So let's go to Ann and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Therese Bradford and Paul Zadonis from the Bureau of Reclamation.
Thank you. Well, historically, the Bureau of Land Reclamation in the Klamath area allocated much more water than actually existed, and especially with this drought that we've had for years now, and with climate change continue forever. A lot of farmers are elderly people, and so nearing retirement. So what about buying back some of these water allocations so that we actually have enough water for the fish and for the tribes downstream that depend on those fish? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Anne. Appreciate that. So we're back on with Therese and Paul. Therese, you want to take a crack at that?
Well, certainly. And there are a number of farmers who may be elderly, and the family that is usually associated with that farmer is generally interested in farming. So the majority of people that I've talked to here are interested in the farming legacy and passing that on to their family. However, the idea of purchasing that land for redistribution of water allocation, I think, is something that, you know, reasonable and should be looked at.
All right. We are talking again with Therese Bradford from the Bureau of Reclamation, the area manager in the Klamath Basin Area Office. Paul Zadonis is the Division Chief Natural Resources Specialist based on the California side. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone anywhere in the listening area, by email jx@jeffnet.org. How would you – did you attend all the meetings, either one of you, Therese or Paul?
I attended the one in Klamath Falls.
Mm-hmm. And what was the general mood there, and how well attended was it?
We had about 50 people, which, when it's during the peak of irrigation season, that's a pretty good turnout. And we had a wide range of people that attended. A lot of people were just interested in hearing what was happening and what people had to say. There was a strong contingent from the irrigation community, and they just wanted to make sure that their needs were going to be met. And they also have an interest in the general ecology of the basin, so just wanted to hear what Reclamation had to say.
All right, and I should point out, I kind of fumbled this on the way in, but there were a series of scoping meetings held that ended last week. So there was Arcata on the 5th, Weaverville on the 6th, the Klamath Falls meeting that Therese attended on the 11th, and then one in Sacramento on the 12th. What would you say, either one of you, were the most common questions that were asked at these open houses?
Paul, you want to handle that?
Sure. I would say, you know, there's a lot of concern over the science that is used for this the long-term plan for augmenting flow in the lower Klamath River. There's a lot of controversy there, I guess you could say, in that you know, historically, some of these flows may not have occurred, at least peak flows like this. But there's certainly, we're in an unprecedented drought, and it's been a challenge. But certainly a lot of folks are curious about the science behind decisions, and that was something we heard, I think, mainly in the, you know, in the Weaverville, Sacramento, and the Klamath Falls scoping sessions. And then in the, you know, the Arcata session was very well attended. We had nearly 130 people attend that meeting, and we had a lot of coastal folks there, the tribal groups, and Humboldt County representatives and others there. So,
did they give you kind of an earful about this year's water releases as opposed to the long-term stuff you were looking for?
Well, you must have read some newspapers.
Yeah.
But certainly they did. They were very interested in this year's action and, of course, weighed in also on the long-term plan. So in total, I would say the meetings were very successful. We captured the general scope of the issues, the geographic areas of potential impact. And, you know, again, we look forward to seeing everybody's comments. You have till August 20th at midnight to get those in. So.
Okay, I want to make it clear, though. You say midnight. The document says close of business online. So is it close of business? Is it 5 p.m. or is it midnight?
Well, I think it's. I think there was in the notice of intent, I think it says by the 20th, I think. So I think we'll be okay with midnight on the 20th.
Okay, so meaning the end of the day on the 20th, not me. All right, just want to be. So what? How do people then get their comments across for this environmental impact statement?
Well, there were some fact sheets, and they were submitted and provided at the scoping sessions. But also there was a press release that the Bureau sent out. And there's also, I'm not sure whether we attempted to fax to you guys or send you the JPR station there, the contact information on that.
All right, we do have some of it. It's a kind of a long email address, but we can make sure we put that up on our website after the program is over.
Just to jump in, so people can send letters, they can send emails, whatever form of communication they want to do. You know, that is written would be great.
All right, but they do need to be received by Thursday at the office in Shasta Lake.
Yes, addressed to Paul.
Okay. Paul Zadonis is the Division Chief Natural Resources Specialist at the Bureau of Reclamation based at Shasta Lake. Therese Bradford is the Klamath Basin Area Manager for the Bureau of Reclamation. We're talking about a comment period still active for the long-term plan for protecting adult salmon in the lower Klamath River. An environmental impact statement will be prepared after these scoping meetings and this first round of comments. You can join our discussion right here, right now, about Klamath Basin water and its allocations. 800-838-3760 by phone. Anywhere in the listening area by email jx@jeffnet.org. Therese, just in terms of trying to put this together, maybe this is a better question for Paul. There are so many variables that can come and go in this process. I mean, you're trying to prepare this document about Trinity River releases, but it would also be dependent on things like whether the four dams come off of the Klamath River and the water you have in any given year and just a whole bunch of other variables. How do you factor those in?
Right, all those variables are pretty tough to fit into some kind of analysis that will give you an answer each year. And so what the EIS does is it allows us to take a more comprehensive look at all the different issues. And I'll turn this over to Paul, and he can talk about what the annual review and process would be to incorporate all those different variables.
Okay.
Yeah, so you know, as alluded to earlier on the call here, we have the NEPA process ongoing. We're early in the stages here, right? We're in the scoping session component, and we will be, you know, in real time. You know, it's one of those things that as these other actions are pending, et cetera, that we're going to need to incorporate them to some degree, for sure, and kind of be flexible as we march on. The long-term plan, our goal, is to have a record of decision by next summer. And I'm not sure where the timelines will fall with, you know, other ongoing things, whether it's Klamath Dam removal or what. But certainly that's part of the NEPA process. We take the latest, greatest information, and we'll put it in to this environmental impact statement and take the best available information. So it's like Therese mentioned, it's a challenge, but in any NEPA review, you kind of go through that. There's always some other things moving along, whether they're complete or would be complete soon, and we'll just have to be cognizant of all those issues. And certainly, you know, the scoping process is in fact a place where, you know, the public can weigh in on and provide those comments. That helps us out too. So that's just part of the NEPA process.
NEPA being the National Environmental Policy Act, which requires things like environmental assessments and environmental impact statements. We are talking about the longer, larger process with the environmental impact statement for the adult protection of salmon in the lower Klamath. We're talking about this with Paul Zadonis and with Therese Bradford. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So a record of decision by next summer is a fairly speedy process as NEPA processes go.
Yes, indeed, it is. It's one of those things that it's a good goal in that we continually go through these repeated actions. Right, as of late, if the drought continues, we'll have a contingency plan in place for next year as well. But our goal is to have that record decision by, you know, end of July, early August next year.
At the time when the issue of releases would become a larger.
Well, or potentially need for another flow augmentation for next year, right?
Mm-hmm. So is it one of these cases where what you're hoping you'll end up with is a document that says, in these conditions, A, B, C, D, we do this? Or if the conditions line up like this, J, K, L, M, we do this? Is it something that would be that specific?
You know, we'll have to wait to see how it all falls out, but it sure would be nice to have a nice roadmap, as you allude to there.
And what is the situation? I know there's a concern with the drought and with the level of water and the warmth of the water, and already there's ick appearing in the Klamath River, which is the short form for a very long-named disease that basically rots the gills of fish. What's the current situation in the river as we understand it, and is there evidence of a major fish die-off this year?
Well, you know, certainly, just a point of clarification, the ick is actually a parasite, and it doesn't formally rot the gills. The columnaris.
Oh, sorry, I got them backwards. Yes, yeah.
But that's okay. And so certainly there were early signs, early warnings of a stressed system, fish appearing with some ick, and there was one salmon that was severely infected. That was definitely a highlight that, you know, we should be concerned. If you look at other river basins along the coast, too, there's some stress occurring in them as well. We have the Rogue River. There were some flow augmentation releases proposed there. I think they had some disease issues there this summer. And it was, I think, the hottest June on record. So there was definitely cause for concern.
And for this year in particular, you mentioned the EA should get packaged up fairly soon for this year, so there could be additional releases, and if so, when? And if so, is there court action anticipated again, as there have been in some previous years?
You know, it's we're hoping for a decision fairly soon. And in regards to, you know, some kind of court-related injunction, we are anticipating some form of involvement there, but we'll have to wait to see.
Therese, I'm curious just about I don't want to say the political aspects of things, because that sets up hackles right away, but just the idea of trying to listen to the concerns of an entire basin when your office is in one part of it and the people there feel a little differently from people on the other end of it.
Right, and there's that is a challenge. And even within the basin, there are different desires, needs, and wants regarding the water. For example, you know, there are a number of people who would like to keep the lake as high as possible, and what that does is it can restrict water to the irrigators. There are the irrigators who want as much water as they are allocated under their water rights and their adjudication, but that's controlled in part by biological opinion and the reality of what amount of water there is. There's need by the Lower Klamath Wildlife Refuge for water, and they're generally the ones that suffer the most when there's a drought or limited water here in the Upper Basin. And then there's a desire of releases of water from the Iron Gate Dam, not only in the late summer, early fall, but also sometimes in the spring to deal with other fish disease like Sea Shasta.
And I'm just curious, at an open house like the one you attended in Klamath Falls, I mean, how many terms do you have to describe it? I mean, because things like biological opinion, somebody who just walked into the Klamath Basin from another town might go, what does that mean? But it's a term well known to people there. I just wonder how much you have to explain some of the basic terms everybody's gotten used to.
Well, biological opinion is a very common term here in the Upper Basin, so people here know that. But the biological opinion that we're currently operating under is a joint biological opinion with the Fish and Wildlife Service and the National Marine. And it really helps guide a lot of our activities here in the basin.
All right. So again, scoping meetings are finished up. The comments will still be accepted on the long-term plan for protecting adult salmon in the Lower Klamath River, basically a long-term plan for dealing with things like Trinity River releases. We'll provide the information about where to send those comments. They need to be in by the close of business on Thursday. Paul Zadonis and Therese Bradford from the Bureau of Reclamation, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.